Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. Thank you very much for being here this Thursday morning. We have, looks like, five bills that we're going to be doing public hearings and possibly work sessions on. And what we're going to do is work through it from the top to the bottom. So we'll start with House Bill 2248A. Whitney?
Thank you, Chair Prezonsky, members of the committee. In 2015, House Bill 2313 authorized the Oregon Youth Authority and county juvenile departments to disclose reports and other materials regarding a youth's history and prognosis with the Department of Corrections. This law is set to sunset on June 30th. House Bill 2248A extends this sunset to January 1st, 2020. There are no amendments, and there is no fiscal or revenue impact.
So we have Heidi Stewart Day. The first three bills will be Heidi's. So I could probably open all three and just run through them real quick and see if we can set a record. McGinnis,
if you would like to, I talk fast.
I think after getting the admonishment that we need to make certain we say the alpha on the bills, we'll probably do one at a time.
Okay.
So, Heidi, thank you for being here.
Thank you, and good morning. Chair Prezonsky, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Heidi Stewart, Assistant Director with the Oregon Department of Corrections, and I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2248A. The Department of Corrections staff are currently allowed access to juvenile records. However, legal authority to the access of these records is set to sunset on June 30th, 2017. Access to juvenile records is essential in order to adequately case manage individuals sentenced to the legal custody of the department who have previous juvenile records. In response to conversations with the Oregon Youth Authority and County Juvenile Department directors, we agreed to the sunset as opposed to repealing it. This will allow additional time to monitor DOC's access to juvenile records. I ask you to vote House Bill 2248A out of committee with a due pass recommendation. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And just for the record, the extension will be from January 1st, 2020.
Is correct. What I read. Yes, thank you.
All right. Any questions, Senator Lithicum?
Without knowing the background, what was the sunset designed to accomplish, and why, as it reads, it sounds like access to this data is an important feature, then why the sunset? And there's a counter argument somewhere. Can you please help me, Heidi?
Chair Prezonsky, Senator Lithicum, the Department of Corrections is entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Oregon Youth Authority to access the juvenile justice information system. And there are certain requirements that we have to meet. We're very restricted on who we can look information up on and what information we can have access to. And so this time provides them with this sunset provides them with additional time to ensure that we are accessing the information appropriately.
So it's kind of a monitoring. A lot of times, Senator Lithicum, the legislature will put sunsets on bills because we're just not sure how it's going to work out, and we want to kind of get data on it. And in this particular situation, because we are talking about juvenile records, there has been a little bit more cautiousness, I would say, as to ensuring that it's being properly applied, the information that's needed is being is accessible, but at the same time that it's not being, I hate to say the word abused, but not misused.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Senator.
Yep.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Senator Thatcher.
Question. I'm not able to look because my computer's decided to install updates right now. So I did not look as to if the sunset was going to expire, and that is why. Well, obviously, that's why we're extending it. But is that why the emergency clause was put in there? Because it would expire before it would otherwise go into effect?
Yeah, just okay. I'll cover that one. It's June 30th, 2017, so it's okay. Scheduled to go this year. And more than likely, I hate to say this, it will expire prior to us leaving session.
Don't say that.
Yeah. But it is the last day. This is the day that we all hope to get out if we can end by June, at the end of June. It would be the same day.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? All right, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 2248A, open a work session on House Bill 2248A.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2248A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 2248A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Dimbro, will you be the carrier on this one?
Sure.
And we'll close the work session on 2248A, and we're going to go ahead and open up public hearing on House Bill 2249.
Thank you, Chair Prezanski, members of the committee. House Bill 2249 allows the Department of Corrections to enter into agreements with counties to provide supplemental funding for reentry support for certain offenders released before turning 25. There are no amendments, and there is no fiscal or revenue impact.
Heidi.
Thank you. Chair Prezanski, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Heidi Stewart, Assistant Director with the Oregon Department of Corrections, and I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2249. People releasing to community supervision need appropriate housing and supports to ensure successful reentry. Many counties, especially our smaller counties, struggle to locate and provide adequate community-based housing for younger offenders who are transitioning from prison to the community. During the 2013 session, the legislature passed Senate Bill 93 to ensure DOC had statutory authority to provide supplemental funds to county corrections agencies for the purpose of reentry supports to DOC youth 18 and younger releasing from OIA's physical custody. House Bill 2249 revises state law to include offenders up to the age of 25 and expands release categories to include any form of transitional leave, reduction in sentence, work release, or a program of conditional or supervised release authorized by law. This bill also repeals existing statute and places the ORS outside the Community Corrections Act to ensure these discretionary supplemental funds are not part of the grant and aid process. I ask you to vote House Bill 2249 out of committee with a due pass recommendation. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Questions on 2249? Senator Lithicum first.
Thank you, Heidi. In terms of these relationships with the counties, is there supplemental funding that the counties can use coming from DOC, or is this would this be coming from county funds in some other capacity?
Chair Prezanski, Senator Lithicum, both. The counties receive money to use for reentry purposes, and then the Department of Corrections has a small pot of money that we can also use.
Follow up. In the pattern that we see up to 18, expanding, moving that out, that needle out to 25, what's the quantity? How many individuals will fall into this category? How many counties are taking advantage of it up to the 18 mark? And then what are your projections for moving beyond 18 to 25?
Chair Prezanski, Senator Lithicum, I don't have those numbers. I didn't pull those. I can say that they are very small, those releasing between that 18 and 25 who are releasing from the physical custody of the Oregon Youth Authority and releasing to a county that needs funds. The instance that came up where I realized there was a gap in statute from 18 to 25 where we couldn't provide these funds was for a youth who was releasing to Josephine County about a year ago. And so that was the last time that an incident like that came up where we really needed to have funds to assist somebody. So it's really few and far between. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's much needed.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Senator Dimbro?
Actually, Senator Lincoln asked my question.
All right, Senator Thatcher.
Well, building on that question, since it's not very often, I'm going to ask about the emergency clause again. Why is that in there? Or is it just one of those situations where it just got put in there and you didn't ask for it?
Chair Prezanski, Senator Thatcher, that's correct. I didn't ask for it. So if you wanted to pull that out, I would be quite fine. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
Well, just to follow up on that question, I mean, what if the need arises pretty quickly? Do you project that someone could be released that could come into this problem?
Chair Prezanski, Senator Dimbro, right now I don't have anybody on my radar who would need that assistance. It certainly could pop up during that time, but we would work very closely with the counties to find some work around like we did for the individual last year.
All right. And just for the record, the enactment date and effective date would be January 1, 2018, so it would be beginning of next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so it's not an emergency clause.
Well, it is emergency, I mean, in the sense if we take it off.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're going to have that discussion when we go into the work session. I just want to put on the record as to making certain everyone knows when it would be if it wasn't there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? right. And I neglected last time to ask, but I'll go ahead and ask. Looking at who's here, I know OYA's here and DAS is here. Didn't think they wanted to say anything on 2248. Sorry, you didn't have that opportunity. How about 2249? Not seeing anyone running up here, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing, and we'll open up the work session on House Bill 2249. Senator Thatcher?
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2249 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Thatcher's moves House Bill 2249 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. I think this is the part where we want to talk about whether or not we want to have the emergency clause removed, or do we want it to stay on? I have no problem leaving it on personally, but at the same time, if this is an uncomfortness, then we could actually have LC put the amendment together and bring the bill back later.
There has been large volume of discussion on the floor about emergency clauses. Heidi doesn't have any individuals on the radar. Yanking it would just help the public and the body feel good about passing things with emergency clauses as necessary instead of by rote action.
All right, so I think I'm going to go ahead and close the work session that we have on 2249 with the understanding we'll ask LC to put together an amendment taking the emergency clause off of the bill, and we'll get it scheduled for a work session as soon as we get that paperwork back. I assume that we'll be able to work this in next week.
Great, thank you.
All right, so we'll close.
Do I need to withdraw my motion then?
No.
Okay.
I'm just closing it. Yeah. So at this point, I'm closing the work session on House Bill 2249, and we'll go ahead and open up a public hearing on House Bill 2250A as an apple.
Thank you, Chair Prezonsky, members of the committee. House Bill 2250A allows the Department of Corrections, in consultation with the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision, to establish by rule deadlines for proposed and revised inmate release plans. There are no amendments, and there is no revenue or fiscal impact.
All right. And Heidi, you're back.
I'm back. Chair Prezonsky, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Heidi Stewart, Assistant Director with the Oregon Department of Corrections, and I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2250A. And a little bit of background, in 2013, House Bill 3194 changed the timelines for DOC to submit proposed and revised release plans to the Board of Parole. And they changed those timelines to 75 days prior to release, and then for a revised release plan, 25 days prior to release. The 2013 legislation also included language to revert the timelines back to the original timelines, which were 60 days and 10 days, on July 1st, 2023. These changes have been problematic for the department. It's been hard for us to meet these new timelines. We have done some research and had a number of conversations with those involved with House Bill 3194 to find out what the intent was behind these changes. Nobody can remember why these changes were made. Nobody had any heartburn over us modifying the statute again. Original conversations were that we would change those timelines back to what they were, but in further conversations as we were working the bill on the House side, we thought, why even keep timelines in there? Let's modify the bill so that the Board of Parole and the Department of Corrections can work together through rulemaking and establish those timelines. So that's what this bill does, and I urge you to vote House Bill 2250A out of committee with a due pass recommendation. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions, Senator Thatcher?
What is the impact in reality on inmates, or the department is apparently having a hard time meeting these deadlines, but what is the impact of not meeting these deadlines?
Senator Prezonsky, Chair Prezonsky, Senator Thatcher, the impact of not meeting the timelines, the hardest part about meeting the timelines is for establishing housing. So we develop a release plan. An individual within our care and custody tells us, you know, I think I can live here and here. We usually try to get two or three different addresses. We send that to the parole and probation office. They have to go out and do a field investigation to determine if the address is appropriate, if the individual actually wants this person living with them. And then they get back to us. And if it's denied, then we start that process all over again, and it goes back and forth. And so that's really where the difficulty is in meeting the timeline, is to get an established housing address into that release plan so that we can then send it to the Board of Parole. So what we're doing right now is we're sending it to the Board of Parole before that's been verified. And then with the automation that we have, we're locked out of that release plan, so we can't go in and make changes. So it's just, it's this big fiasco, quite frankly. So there isn't any impact to the individual. There isn't any impact to community corrections because we're working with them on a regular basis and communicating with them. And there isn't any real impact to the Board of Parole, again, because we're all working together. So that's why we thought it would work best for us to establish our timelines and rule.
So it's kind of arbitrary, really. It really serves no purpose for processes. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions?
So, yeah, I do have a question. Yes. So this would be worked out by the two boards jointly. Is it just DOC rulemaking, or is it Board of
Chair Prozonsky, Senator Dembro? This would be the Department of Corrections and the Board of Parole through rulemaking. So it would likely be in the rules for the Board of Parole establishing those timelines that we would then follow. So it'd be us working together.
Well, I'm going to clarify from my reading of the of the measure. It says the department, in consultation with the board, shall establish a rules deadline. So it seems to me that the onus will be on the department, but they do have to consult with the board. And so it seems to me like I think it would be under DOC that would have the obligation, but they also have the in the sense of doing the rules, but they have to reach out and include the board. But my reading of this is that the board is consulted, but the department actually makes the rules.
Thank you, Chair, for clarifying. I appreciate that.
Just on the record, so we don't have two agencies. So, well, wait, who said that? But clean reading tells me that. Okay? Senator Lethicon.
Last question. Heidi, as you described this, you know there's an emergency clause, and I'm taking it you didn't put that on there, but it's just hanging out for fun's sake.
Chair and Senator, that's correct.
Yeah. So the chair is going to interject on this one. This one, I feel very comfortable having the emergency clause because of what we're dealing with. I don't think it's appropriate for them to have to go through what they're going through for the next 7 months or whatever it is until it goes in effect. I think it's better to get it cleared up and cleaned up. And so the chair is fine with, in this particular case, keeping it in, even if it wasn't requested. LC may have looked at it and just saw that what it was dealing with and felt it
was
appropriate.
I think it's justified.
No fiascos beyond their time.
Right. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Fiasco prevention clause.
All right. Yeah, exactly. Any other questions? Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and just check real quick. Does anyone else want to give testimony on 2250A? Not seeing any. We'll close that public hearing, open the work session on 2250A. Senator Thatcher.
Chair Brzezinski, I move House Bill 2250A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 2250A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Chair will carry 2250A to the floor. We'll close the work session on that one. We'll open up House Bill 2253 for a public hearing.
Thank you, Chair Prozonsky, members of the committee. House Bill 2253 allows a Department of Corrections inmate to perform electrical and plumbing work while under the supervision of a licensed electrician or plumber who is a Department of Corrections or Oregon Corrections Enterprise employee. There are no amendments, and there is no fiscal or revenue impact.
All right. Thank you. Ken Jeske, why don't you come forward? Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. Chair Prozonsky and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I am Ken Jeske. I'm the administrator of Oregon Corrections Enterprises, or OCE. OCE is a semi-independent state agency that operates inmate work and training programs at the Department of Corrections in their prisons. I am here to testify in support of 2253 and answer your questions. In 2013, Oregon Revised Statute ORS 421.423 was amended by House Bill 3245, which sets a provision that an inmate in the custody of DOC may not perform electrical or plumbing work unless they were under the direct supervision of a regular status DOC employee who is licensed as an electrician or plumber. As introduced, House Bill 3245 required both DOC and OCE to ensure licensed or experienced trade or occupations corrections employees supervise inmates participating in an apprenticeship or journey worker in or journey worker in apprenticeship programs. OCE was removed during the revisions for reasons that remain unclear. OCE operates inmate work programs in which heavy equipment and machinery is used and often requires maintenance and repairs by electricians or plumbers. Under current statute, inmates cannot perform any electrical or plumbing work on an OCE machinery or equipment unless supervised by a DOC employee who is licensed. This concept is needed to allow OCE employees who are licensed electricians and plumbers to supervise inmates while working in the OCE work areas. OCE staff often perform electrical work in OCE work program areas. Continuing to have DOC employees directly supervising inmates during the work increases the cost for OCE, sometimes resulting in overtime, and it does not allow the inmates assigned to OCE programs to perform necessary work and help them maintain their professional license. If passed, this legislation would allow DOC inmates to perform electrical or plumbing work under the direct supervision of OCE employee who is licensed electrician or plumber. This will result in lower costs for OCE and may increase the number of inmates participating in apprenticeship programs. For the reasons explained above, on behalf of the Department of Corrections and OCE, I ask this committee to vote House Bill 2253 out of committee with a due pass recommendation. Thank you for your time and consideration.
All right, thank you. Questions?
I have a question, Chair. Ken, what was the number of that House bill? Do you have it from 2013? Because I remember that, and I remember that bill, and I thought it was a good bill. And it came, I think, to the committee I was chairing over in the House.
Yeah. Chair Przanski and Senator Dembro, it is 3245.
And so at some point, OCE was stripped out?
Yes, we, Chair Przanski and Senator Dembro, from the records that we have researched, OCE was listed in there, and for some reason it just didn't make it through, and we haven't been able to figure out why that was, and so we're here in front of you today.
Great. Well, it's a very important program, I think.
Yeah. Any other questions? All right, we're going to go ask if anyone wants to give testimony on 2253. Not seeing anyone, will close the public hearing on 2253. Open the work session on House Bill 2253.
Chair Brzezinski, I move House Bill 2253 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 2253 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
I think the E-clause is justified.
I agree. All right.
We could go retroactive if we want to.
Well,
we can, but
are.
Anyway.
We kind of are. All right, we're crossing that T a little bit late, but we're getting it crossed. Any other questions or comments? Not seeing any, we'll go ahead and take a vote on the motion. Does anyone oppose moving House Bill 2253 to the floor with a due pass recommendation? Not seeing anyone, motion carries. Senator Manning, I'd ask that you be to carry on 2253.
Sure.
And the reason I do that, unless Senator Dembro really wants it, because you already have 2248.
Yeah, no, apparently I screwed up once. So let's give Senator Manning a chance to redeem it.
Yeah, and I was the vice on that one, so neither one of us deserved it.
All right, so we got you all isolated out on that one. We'll close the work session on 2253, open up our last public hearing on House Bill 2334.
Thank you, Chair Przanski, members of the committee. House Bill 2334 establishes the Juvenile Corrections Population Forecast Advisory Committee. The committee will assist in preparing reports that include juvenile offender population projections. There are no amendments, and there is no revenue or fiscal impact.
And believe it or not, there's no witnesses signed up either. But, Lindsay, you are here, and I'd like for you to come up since this is a DAS bill. I noticed on the House side, no one was listed on the witness list there, so I'm not sure if you gave testimony there or
I did.
Not. Okay.
Good morning, Chair Pozanski, members of the committee. For the record, Lindsay Baker with the Department of Administrative Services. Thanks for the opportunity to testify before you today on House Bill 2334. So by way of a little bit of background, the Juvenile Corrections Forecasting Advisory Committee advises the Department of Administrative Services and specifically the Office of Economic Analysis that's within DAS on creating a twice yearly juvenile corrections population forecast. The advisory committee and the technical working group that sort of work in tandem were created initially via executive order issued by Governor Kitzhaber in 1998. At that time, there have been that was sunsetted and was set to expire that executive order, and there have been since three separate executive orders that have essentially just renewed the existence of the committee and sort of clarified the direction and the charge of that committee. So House Bill 2334 merely moves all of that substance, the existence of that committee, from executive order into statute. That's all that it does. It prescribes the number of committee members, which I believe is seven, that are appointed by the governor, and again, just clarifies the charge and the direction to the committee. I will note finally that there is no emergency clause on this measure at all. The executive order that sort of currently governs this system is set to expire December, I think, 31st of 2017, and so becoming effective January 1 of 2018 would be perfect. With that, I have no other information, but if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
All right. Are there any questions? Not seeing any, we'll go ahead and ask if anyone else wants to give testimony on 2334. Not seeing anyone coming forward, close the public hearing, open the work session on House Bill 2334.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2334 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 2334 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Lithicum, will you be our carrier?
Certainly.
And we'll close the work session on House Bill 2334. So, colleagues, I believe, Lisa, is there anything else we need to do? That takes care of the work for today. This being Thursday, and we're not scheduled for Fridays at this point. We'll recess till Monday, and I believe we are set to go at 8:30, not before. And
actually,
so we're going to have a special day of in-house training. That is meaning we will not be meeting on Monday. So enjoy. We'll be back here on Tuesday of this next week, which I believe is May 2nd at 8:30. So with that, before I gavel, we'll make sure no one's running out and going, no, don't do that. We're adjourned.
Can we?
We're adjourned.
Can we
that?